Blog Talk Radio. To all you fabulous listeners out there. My name is Meredith, also known as Foxy Mama. Here in this forum, we encourage you all to listen, call in, and share your amazing stories with us. Please feel free to ask questions pertaining to your weight loss journey, nutrition, wellness, fitness, and healthy lifestyles. And now, with no further ado, I am proud to introduce the host of our show, Big Dreams Talk Radio, Steve, the Health Minister Nicander.
Good evening. Welcome to Big Dreams Radio. I'm your host, Steve Sirdropalot Nicander, and I myself have been on a weight loss journey, a health recovery journey for just about 2 years now. In that time, I've managed to lose nearly 400 pounds. I'm so close. I don't know exactly. I'm kind of thinking I'm very close to that 400 pounds with nutrition and whole foods and lots of water and a moderate and vigorous fitness plan. And since then, I've become a health activist, safe foods advocate, speaker, and a writer, and become involved with producing this new and up-and-coming docu-based self-improvement or lifestyle realization show, Big Dream. And it's my big dream is to include, got a lot of them, but one of them, the main one, is to reach out to those that are still in desperate need of motivation and inspiration, trying to make that mind, body, food, fitness connection in order to get themselves turned around in the right direction towards health. So I want to help these individuals with their chronic disease problems, help them identify their poor lifestyle and nutrition choices, and maybe help them correct these while also trying to educate them on how true and sound nutrition can help to eliminate cure chronic disease and weight-related, obviously, being one of our main focuses. I want to motivate and speak and inspire people to take back control in their lives, you know, try to redirect them to maximize and optimize their health and well-being. I encourage them to believe in themselves because ultimately it begins and ends with their brain and their mind. And although in order to have complete balance or homeostasis, we need to create an equilibrium in all those three main phases. I talk about mind, body, and spirit. So let's take that journey together and explore many areas of healthful living so that we can all live out our better lives and become the best that we can be. So I want to welcome you all tonight to this show. It's 10:19 Wednesday. A little recap of last week. We had the healthful chef Shedrick on. We had a great show. Talked about a bunch of different things, including nutrition, healthful eating. We might even touch a little bit on that tonight as well. This week's episode, if you had watched them or continue to watch them, this week was my second training session with Mercedes Dunn, and we had the weigh-in, and I weighed in 55. It's actually been a couple of weeks since then, since we had that weigh-in. I'm not going to do a weigh-in this week, but I think we're going to schedule one for next Friday. So I'll be anxious to see if I've gotten to that 250 mark or below. I'm really encouraged that I think I'll be able to do that. I had another training session today where I am already hurting and sore. So with that said, let's bring in our guest tonight, Mercedes Dunn. Good evening, Mercedes. How are you doing?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I am doing very well, very well. How are you doing?
Good. So I hear you had a great workout and you're a little bit sore, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Wow, I did some stuff I didn't think I was going to be able to do it, but I kind of pushed myself, and I did some exertion on that knee, but it's good to test, so I'm happy about that. It's a little sore already, so that means that I'm obviously I've been testing those muscles around the knee, but I did some stuff today I didn't think I was ready for, but you know what? I really learned today. It's there's so much of that, and we'll have to talk about that. There's a lot of mental challenges going into this stuff, you know, like pushing yourself. And I could be remiss to say that I wouldn't have gotten so far as I have if I hadn't been pushing myself. And, you know, lately it seemed like maybe I wasn't trying to, last month or so, month and a half, that I haven't been actually trying to really push myself out of my comfort zone. But I was pushed out of my comfort zone today, and I surprised myself, so I was happy.
And you survived, and it sounds like it really got you to a better place where you realize when you push yourself that much, you can actually do a lot more than you think you can. So, like you said, not only did you push yourself physically, but mentally you got to a new space, which is amazing.
Yes, you know, and that's, you know, we I always talk about all these people, and you and self, I'm sure, included, having lost a lot of weight. We all have these big dreams or these, you know, like weightless bucket lists and all these things. So anyway, one of my big dreams, as we like to talk about, is to be able to go and climb the Alps where my uncle lives most of the year in the Austrian Alps. And I keep making the analogy of this journey, of this fight back to health, that it's been like climbing a mountain, you know, and I'm so, so, so close to that summit. And, you know, I make references to that on Facebook sometimes, that, you know, like, so close, but you know, it seems like the closer I get to the goal, the harder it's becoming. But I guess that's how it is, you know. I guess the end of the journey ends up to be sometimes the toughest, you know.
Definitely, but it's always at that moment where you feel like it's the toughest that you push yourself further when you know you're going to make it, because it's that one moment where you wonder, am I going to make it? And like you said, you're so close, and you just have to push yourself a little bit more, and then you're at the top of the mountain, and you could see where you were, where you are, and where you're going. And it sounds like you're getting there. You're so close to getting there, and you are there. In so many ways, you are there, and you need to give yourself a pat on the back, even going and doing that workout today and pushing yourself and realizing that you're holding yourself back just a little bit, and a workout like that really pushed you a little bit further to reach your goal.
Yeah, it's that those lunges. I was really, really worried about doing those lunges, and we'll explain those, that, you know, you got to hold that weight above your head and then step out, and then kind of, it's almost like doing like a squat, isn't it, coming down into that thing. And
yes.
The thing I was trying to fight with was trying to keep my weight on my heel, on the front foot, and then, you know, then keep that, first of all, keeping my legs straight in the same, I overcompensate, like I've told you that before, that, you know, I put my foot at a certain angle because it kind of helps my knee. Well, somehow when I was doing those lunges as well, my back foot wasn't aligned, you know, straight with my front. I was kind of like turning it, and it wasn't working as well, and then I finally had to start, like, concentrating on straightening and then trying to put that weight on the tip of the foot, you know, on the front of the foot,
right,
and the back, and then concentrate on trying to put that weight on the, I don't know, I think I was overthinking it at first, but and she kind of told me that it was more like, you know, trying to squat into it, because I was like leaning forward and I was putting so much pressure on my knee, it was scaring me. But and she heard my knee. I mean, you've heard my knee making noise.
Yep.
So she heard the creaking, like, I mean, really audible creaking. It kind of surprised her a little bit. She was like, oh, that doesn't sound good. I was like, no, it's not good. But, you know, there's always a little pain involved, and there's struggle and challenge. So I just want to get people ready, because I'm probably, I was so jacked afterwards that I'm almost, I called Kristen immediately, and I told her, you know, we're going to have to tape that. I want people to see me getting my butt kicked, but like challenging myself too. So, I mean, yes, I was struggling, and yet we might have to beep out a couple superfluous words that I dropped today.
Yeah.
But still, it was good, you know, because people have to see that challenge, and challenging yourself. I mean, that's the thing. If you want to keep pushing yourself further and get further down, you got to kind of kick it up a
right.
notch, right? Right.
Exactly.
So.
And the great thing about working out with a personal trainer, no matter who it is they know how to push you further. But we also have that professionalism and that knowledge that we're going to be able to help you to make sure that you don't injure yourself, because that's our job.
Right. And
she did the right thing.
You know, as soon as you, yeah, well, she said, if you feel any kind of pain on that knee, you know, I don't want you to, you know, push it. So, but I really was going into it like really slow, and it's, you know, it's almost like I keep saying it, it's almost like a creaky old wooden door that just kind of. So I just kept lowering it, You know, I wasn't doing it like Mary was doing a great job when she did it, but couldn't get that
yeah.
low. But I went as low as the knee actually allowing right now. It felt a little rusty, but I tell you what, afterwards, it's not that bad. It's very like fluid now, but it's
yep.
sore. But I guess I challenged those knee muscles. I guess those muscles, isn't it? Just I just have to build up those muscles all around the knee, you know? I guess that's where I'm weak, right?
Exactly, and it takes time. You made one step today. You have to push your muscles, have really great memory. So right now the muscles in your knee aren't used to working out that way, but the more you work them out, the more you do those lunges, the more you do those exercises that are going to force your knee to bend in a different way and utilize those muscles in a different way.
And support, and
that
yeah,
the next
and support
time.
That weight, yeah, because, you know, that's the thing. I was like, you know, I guess we all have that mindset. All that they've been heavy, we still kind of think that way, you know, oh, my God, I'm still big. I mean, I do it all the time. I see myself on camera, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm enormous. Well, you're not
yeah.
that enormous, I mean, you know. But, yeah, so sometimes, like, I guess that's why I've been holding back with the knee thing, but just thinking, oh, my God, I can't do it. So then she gave me, got one of those platform. I call it almost like those little circus platform things. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And she wanted me to. Yeah, and she wanted me to jump up, hop up on it. I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. I don't think I can do that yet. But then I started doing like the step up, like a quick step up.
Yeah.
Up with one, down with one, then up the other one, then down the other one, and kind of back and forth. So, and I was able to do that. I lost my balance a couple times. And then, and the other one I was kind of worried about, but then it kind of turned out okay, was doing the planking down, getting down on the plank, doing it like a plank, although I did it off my knees, again, because of the knee thing, you know, I tried to do it straight out, planked, and then kind of come from on the arms up to almost like a push-up position thing. But
right.
My knee couldn't take that. So then I went down to the knees and then did it, you know.
And you did the first step every exercise. Anytime you're doing an exercise routine, whether it's new or old, there's always progressions. So the first step for your step-ups is you stepped up onto the platform. Sooner or later, you'll be able to do the jump. The first thing for the plank is you got in the position and you were able to get yourself up and down and you didn't kill yourself. You're still here.
No.
So the next time you'll be able to do a full plank. It's progression. Just like you're eating, when you start off eating, you don't go. Most people don't go full force and lose
right.
all their weight within one day. It takes time. It's the same thing with exercise.
Yeah, sure. So let's talk a little bit about this week's webisode that we did. We featured the kettlebell. And so so why don't you explain how this exercise, the kettlebell, helps, and really what kind and what parts of the body that it really helps to strengthen.
Okay. Well, kettlebells are this new fad nowadays. Everywhere you go, you see people saying, I'm doing a kettlebell workout. They get the little kettlebells, and it's this new craze. It's actually been around
but although,
for ages.
But let's tell our people that although it's an old, it's kind of an older thing, invention. In fact, it's invented by the Russians, and it was a while ago that they did that.
America's been using it since the 1900s.
Yes,
a lot of our power lifters have been using them.
What's
really great about them is you use multiple muscles when you're working them out. So you get a full body workout. Not only are you building muscle, but you get an aerobic exercise as well. So you're not just isolating one muscle. If you do a bicep curl with a dumbbell, you're just working out that bicep. We've now realized that we need to work out our entire body, because one muscle never works without utilizing another muscle. If you walk, you're not just using your feet. You're using your legs and your hips and your core. The kettlebell does that. It gives you a full body workout. You build muscle. You do aerobic exercise. So it's a really great way of getting a full body workout, being able to burn calories and build muscle at the same time. And it's versatile. There's so many different exercises you could do, and anybody can do it. Young people, old people, really fit people,
true,
people that are just starting out on their exercise journey.
There's so many different weight sizes. They start from really light. They go up to, and again, it's a progression. So they get heavier and heavier the stronger you get. They can basically be done from your house. I mean, you could even do some kettling while you're sitting down. So it can be utilized very effectively. It's definitely going to bring up your heart rate. I can tell you that for sure. I did my own little kind of circuit using some of your exercises that you taught me, not only in that webisode, but the workout before. So I kind of set myself up. They brought one of those ship ropes over now. So I set that up, that big rope that everyone sees on The Biggest Loser. I put that around and set that up. Then I did myself some the medicine ball, like we did, the 20-pound medicine ball, watermelon smashes, like you called them, where we're smashing the ball down.
Yep.
10 of those. Then I turn around and I do some dumbbell boxing. No, with 10-pound dumbbells, so I'd pick them up and do a couple, 10 jabs and 10 hooks with each arm. Then I turned around and grabbed that the kettlebell and did some kettlebell, like 15 kettlebell swings. And then I finished it up with a 45-pound deadlift at the end. I'm going to change this up, though, because I made a big mistake leaving that 45-pound dumbbell deadlift till the end, because that was like the most strenuous one, and it at the end of that circuit, every time I got to that end of the circuit, I was winded.
Whenever you do a circuit, you always want to make sure that when you're doing a weightlifting part, like a deadlift, that's a heavy weight, you don't want to do it right after you did cardio, because cardio, like when you were doing your boxing, the dumbbell boxing, that takes up all of your oxygen. And your body just doesn't have enough time to replenish that oxygen that you need to be able to lift that weight so heavy. So you should always do the weightlifting before you do the cardio, and then you won't be so exhausted.
Excellent tip. Thank you very much, and I will definitely use it. So we got a caller in. It looks like Jeffrey's on the line. Jeff, you got a question? Welcome to Big Dreams Radio.
Hey,
hi,
how
Jeff.
You guys doing?
Good.
How are you guys? Okay?
Wonderful.
Very good this evening.
Okay, hey, you touched on something out of your comfort zone, and you know what? It is so important, and I agree with it, and I just wanted to mention it. But I have a question for the trainer. How do you get somebody into a comfort zone, somebody that's brand new to exercise? What do you do to motivate somebody that's afraid of going to a gym, that's never been to a gym, that doesn't know anything about exercise? And do you have also I know you probably evaluate everybody, based on their level, but is there like a set routine that you do for somebody that's brand new to this?
My biggest thing when I'm talking to somebody who's brand new to exercise and hasn't been to a gym and hasn't worked out, whether it's they've never worked out or haven't worked out for years, is I sit and talk with them, and we develop a plan. If you have a plan, you're going to be it's going to make it easier for you to stick to. You're going to know what each step is. The fitness assessment, six fitness assessments that we could do with any, there's a heart assessment that you do to find out how fast your heart rate goes up and where you and how much you can exercise before you get to what's called your maximum heart rate level. And there's a very easy calculation. You don't even need a trainer to do it. There's a general calculation where you take 220 and you divide that in half by your age. And you take your pulse rate before you walk. You can go for a walk for 1 mile and take your pulse rate again. That's a good starting point for anybody to do. There's other fitness assessments that I would do based on what the person's ability and level is, and then you can always do measurements and take the start every few weeks to see how much you're improving. But I think for anybody starting off, the biggest thing is set goals and make a plan. Don't just say, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to start working out, and you don't know what you're going to do because you're not going to stick to it. So really just make a plan, figure out where you want to be, and stick to that plan, whether it's I'm going to work out 3 times a week and I'm going to do a half hour cardio. Whatever it is, stick to that plan. Once that plan becomes a routine, then add something to that plan so you keep moving forward and you keep progressing.
Yeah, Jeff, and you know what I like about like most modern gyms nowadays? They have all these wonderful machines. So you don't, even if you're intimidated by free weight work and all that stuff, there's so many of these machines that are not only safe, they show you proper form, and they're pretty easy to operate themselves, and it's a good way to incorporate some of those strengthening exercises without having to do, you know, like free weight work and stuff. Because, I mean, a lot of people are, when they walk in a gym and they see all the weights and everything, they're like,
well, it's very intimidating. You know, it's very intimidating. It's very, very intimidating. Can I ask one more question? If it's not too much?
Sure.
How, because, you know, I'm so much into spinning and, you know, I love the fun kind of, how do you know what the right blend is? I mean, how do you know, like I do like an hour of cardio every morning and I do
cardio
20 minutes of weight.
Yeah.
But how do you know what the right blend is?
Well, you can't do just one. You can't do just cardio. You need to strengthen the muscle. Cardio is great to get to build up your heart rate, to get cardiovascular workout. But if you're just doing cardio, you'll see a lot of runners. They'll be great runners. They could run a marathon. They could run really for long distances, but they're still not healthy because they're not building up their muscles. So you just want to make sure you have a balance. So it sounds like you already have a great cardio routine. Start adding in some strength training, and you'll be amazed how much better and how much easier when you go into that spin classes because you have the muscles to support what you're doing.
Oh, unbelievable. And, you know, I started staggering, Jeff. So I would do, like, cardio on one day. The next day I would do some weight work. And it, like we said, it doesn't have to be severe. So you can really start light. And then, you know, start with the lightweight and do more reps, right? Isn't that right, Mercedes?
Yes, very much. Start with light weights, go higher reps until you get used to it, and then you would start lowering those reps and up in the weights because then you really want to make sure you have proper form, and it's, again, a routine you could stick to. So if you do, even every other day, you're doing strength training and incorporating that into your cardio on your off days.
Okay. No. Very good. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome, Jeff.
Yeah. That's great. So, we were talking about the kettlebell work and the core work. So what are some of the most effective exercises that we can do to strengthen our core, besides the kettlebell?
Well, you know, we've come a long way from doing 100 sit-ups and thinking that's going to give us a six-pack and a strong core. We now know, just like with any exercise, you need to work out the entire muscles in your core along with auxiliary muscles for the workout to be most effective.
Which are? Tell us all those so that we know, because some people might not.
Well, some of the things you did today, like doing the plank. A plank is a really great way of incorporating your entire core and your entire body. Making sure you do them right, of course. Doing crunches, there's different variations of crunches, just like there's different variations of sit-ups. So you don't want to just do the regular crunch. You could do a side crunch.
And so when we're doing, too, we are definitely engaging that core. In other words, we're like contracting in that abdomen, that core, as hard as we can and kind of like working it as we're doing those, right?
Yes, and going slow. A lot of people like to do their ab workouts and their core workouts and go, and they'll do tons of crunches within 5 minutes. Core workout is a slow, small movement. Take your time.
Yeah.
Breathing is important. Making sure you're utilizing your abs. If you go too fast, your form is probably off. If you could do 100 crunches, you're not doing it right. You should only be able to crank out a few of those, taking your time with it, being nice and slow. It's not a fast workout.
I know. I learned that even with doing the dumbbell work in the beginning, because I thought going fast was, you know, it was cool because I could just, you know. And then I finally talked to one of the therapists, and they were like, you know what? If you concentrate more, take it slow, you know, and kind of really concentrate as you're moving and working that muscle over and over again, you're going to get such a better overall workout in that muscle than just trying to kind of like pump them out one after another.
Right. And the concentration is so big. Really think about the muscle that you're working out. Really pay attention to your, I always tell any of my clients, be body aware. Just do a body check. Make sure, are you in the right alignment? If you're doing a crunch, you're doing a plank, is your body in the position it's supposed to be in? Are you taking your time with it? And really think about the muscle you're working out and pay attention to what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. And that's what a good personal trainer is. They're educator as well. So as you're going along with them, they're teaching you things about your muscles. How to work those muscles, why we work those muscles, right? And so I know for me, I know for me and probably everybody out there, we all have problem areas in our body, okay? Especially all of us that have had a lot of weight and we lost a lot just for a significant amount of weight. We still have all these little problem areas that we all need to address. That need addressing on a major level. I know mine, I got like three, maybe even four, are my, like my hips, my legs, and my butt. I mean, those are the three areas that, and they kind of almost, you know, they were talking again about that core area, and that involves my balance. I mean, I had some balance issues today. Of course, that does come with the excess skin that I still have, and that's a weight on front of me. That kind of helps a little bit. But still, I mean, my balance to begin with way back 2 years ago was just atrocious. I mean, it was so, so bad, and it's so good now. And I actually kind of even learned that even more today because, I mean, even though I lost my balance a couple of times, I was really pushing myself and I was kind of like trying to, you know, I was winded. And so, you know, I thought I did not too bad when I came up to that, but, so what are the best ways to like help with our hips? Like, let's start with the hips.
Well, you made a really good point. The hip flexors, they're actually part of your core. So when you strengthen your core workout, any of the exercises we just talked, the crunches, the plank, doing rotational exercises, that is actually you strengthening your hips as well. Some of the other things you do.
I did that too. Like when I was in the recliner, I would do just like I'd sit forward, but I would twist up the hip, or like all the way to the left, right? And I had like two dumbbells in my hand, and I held like the two dumbbells in my hand in front of me on my chest, and then I just kind of like pivoted to the left and then back to the front. And then I would, again, you know, and then just did like, you know, at first I started with only like 10 or 15 sets. And then I had got to a point where I was like doing 25 sets of 25 to the left. And I did a set of 25 to the right. But you're constantly, and, you know, it's not major movement, but it's that repetition of movement over and over again. Because the first woman that I met was a physical therapist in the hospital. It wasn't even in the rehab. And she made such a great analogy. I think I already had told you about that, about the muscles being like, and especially mine, being so sedentary. They had become like raisins, you know, and she said,
yep.
What we want to do with the exercise is kind of like we want to turn those raisins back into the grapes that they used to be, you know, nice and
exactly.
plump. And because you kind of, you know, you got to kind of work that muscle and, you know, to get it to a point where maybe it is a little sore like it is today, because then that muscle strengthens back again and it gets a little firmer and a little tougher, and it just keeps, it just, I mean, I felt it this whole time. I'm finally actually feeling my chest muscles underneath, and I can actually, like, flex them a little bit, and that's, like, totally amazing to me, you know. Having that low testosterone level, to me, now is the biggest thing, is trying to build that muscle mass back up. But I know that, this, you know, I can just see in the progression that I've made in the last 6 months that it's all about targeting those right areas. So like you said, the hip flexors, there's a couple machines I know they even have at the gym that kind of work on those hip areas
too.
They have that flexing, that same kind of machine like I was talking about doing in the recliner. They almost have that same pivot machine
hip flexion.
That you hold on to. Yeah.
And it helps
so,
you with your, you swing your leg from the front out to the side, back and forth, and that's actually utilizing your leg muscles and your hip muscles as well. And another thing at the gym that's really cool is the captain's chair. You know that weird contraption? It looks like it has an arm and a backrest, but there's no seat, so you just hang there.
Oh, yeah.
That's the captain's chair, and that is a great exercise to actually work out all parts of the posterior chain that was brought up in the webisode we had. The posterior chain is your glutes
right.
and your hamstrings and your lower back and your hips. That's a really great machine to use.
I'm going to have to try that one, though. And this is that's the one that's like, what is it?
It's the one that right across, directly across from where the kettlebells are. It's directly across, and your arms on. There's an armrest and a backrest, but there's no seat. So it's half
Got
of
it.
The chair.
Yeah, with that, it almost has like a basu ball kind of thing in the back. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, that's it.
Right,
and you could do knee lifts, lifting the knees up and down.
I have. Yes, I've done as many as 6 or 7 in a row, which I was kind of amazed with. First, Kristen and Mary can do a bunch more, but that's a good thing. I'm going to start using that too, because that will definitely help with the hips. That's a good idea. And legs.
That works
right.
out. The hips, the legs, and the butts, all the areas that you said you want to work out. So it's a great thing to do and very easy. You don't even need no special equipment. Like we were telling Jeffrey, it's just nice and easy to use. It looks a little bit scary, but it's the simplest thing in the world. You're just lifting your legs.
And you're using your own body weight as well, too. So, again, it's you know what? And not only that, I think it's kind of like, even though you're resting your arms there too, but you're holding on. So I mean, it's a good workout, definitely.
Yeah.
So what's another? Because I really need help in the butt. What's another good exercise you could do to like work the gluteus?
You could do wall squats. So you know, you do a regular squat. You can lean yourself against a wall and slide yourself up and down. That any type of squat, the lunges you did today. Those work out your front legs, but there's other types of lunges.
Oh,
so there's the forward lunge, the side lunge, the reverse lunge, walk-in lunges, the same thing with any squats. Those work out your legs, your buttocks, it works out all of that area, and you're bringing your heart rate up as well. So you get in your leg working on, and you're bringing up your heart rate, which is great.
Yep, that's true. Awesome. Cool. I know that I've just started working on building up my upper body, but it seems like that free weights is kind of the word and the work is the way to go with that. So, how can we, let's discuss a few things that we should be doing to increase the muscle, like in our arms, obviously our arms, our biceps, the shoulders. Of back muscles. Now, I know I've learned a couple of these ones that I even learned off of YouTube when I was in my chair, like the one where you hold the the dumbbell up straight above your head, and then you kind of bring it down behind your head.
That would be a tricep extension.
Right, the tricep extension. You just want to tell you out there, just make sure you don't bop yourself in the head, because I did that several times. And I've been now lately, I've been doing it with a 15-pound weight. So if you bop yourself in the head with a 15-pound dumbbell, kind of hurts.
You're going to have a headache.
It does wake you up.
What I tell people when they're doing that is whenever you're doing a tricep extension, you want to keep your elbow as close to your head as possible. And it's kind of like you're reaching down the middle of your back, trying to get that. Everybody has that little itch in the middle of their back.
That's what you're doing. Right. That's a great analogy. Awesome. And then, of course, you got the one where you just, like, lift it straight above your head. I don't know. What's that one called?
The overhead extension?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that what you're talking about?
Where you take the
dumbbell and you go over your head all the way in front of you and back?
Right, exactly. And, what are some of the great shoulder exercises where we can build up our shoulders, too?
One great exercise that I love actually involves the kettlebells. It's a clean and press, and we did the clean and press in our webisode. That actually does, it's pretty much a squat to an overhead. So when you bring the kettlebell up and you drive it straight, your hand straight up over your head, that works out your traps and your shoulders. Doing something like
awesome.
That, front raises, where you just have your arms in front of you and you keep your arms straight and you raise them up to shoulder level so you can see where your eyes are. That's a great shoulder workout. And a lot of times when you're working out your shoulders, you're incorporating your biceps as well, because obviously, again, our body works all together, so you can't just isolate the shoulder. You're going to incorporate your arms as well. So you're getting a great arm and shoulder and back workout. The difference is dependent on the movement you make, where are you going to get the most, which muscle are you utilizing the most, and which muscles are secondary or auxiliary muscles. But any of those exercises, kettlebells, the bicep curls, dips, push-ups are really good as well. But using the free weights, any squats to overheads, any movement where you're moving your arms and rotating that shoulder.
Yep, that's true. And I know that I was also trying to do something with a forearm exercise. What is it called? The preacher?
The preacher curl, that's it. Where you're actually leaning over something, so the top part of your arm is leaning on something.
Right.
The reason
Either
why there's numbing, just...
Like
yeah.
a knee, you can like lean it against your knee or something like that.
Yes. The reason why you do that is because the bicep, it's called the bicep because there's two muscles, so it's called the bicep. There's two heads is what we call in the bicep muscle. So when you do a regular standing curl, you're hitting one of those heads. When you do a preacher curl or even a hammer curl, you make a small change in how you're holding that weight, then you get the other part of your bicep. And it's the same thing, like you said, with the tricep. You do one where you do a tricep extension. You do another where you do a tricep dip because the tri is three. So you have three muscles that you actually need to work out. So you need to do different types of tricep and bicep exercises to hit all of those muscles.
Right. And I've also seen a couple guys now at the gym, they also do like a rotation while they're doing that lifting. Like even when they do like a bicep curl or something like that, they'll take the dumbbell as with like their palm down, and then when they bring it up, they totally twist it around and then bring it up. Is there advantage to doing that?
There could be. You have to be very careful and make sure you do it right. What they're doing is they're rotating their shoulder because, again, you have your shoulder. You have your trapezoid. It's like a triangle that connects.
Right.
Those muscles actually are connecting muscles to your shoulder, which connects, again, to your bicep. So if you're doing it properly and taking your time, you're utilizing that rotation. And a lot of athletes will do those types of exercises so they do not tear their rotator cuff. You'll hear a lot of athletes that get side benched and whether they're playing baseball or football.
Strong. Gotcha. So they're trying to keep that area, just like I'm trying to do with my knee, trying to strengthen the muscles around it. That
exactly.
way, it's not only going to make me more stable, but it's also going to prevent any from any kind of major injury. Because I can definitely see that.
Exactly.
Very important.
So you always have to work out all the muscles around it, and not just isolate the one muscle that you want to build up.
Right. Gotcha. So obviously, let's talk a little bit about nutrition. You know, we all want to have that flat, taut stomach. Obviously, we're all, but lots of us, especially ones of us that have been overweight and lost this weight, we all seem to have this problem with that last remaining flabby stomach that we have a little bit. Well, I mean, I'm in so many of my friends, and including me, that we just kind of like, God, how do we get rid of that little remaining pudgy stomach? And it's so, you know, my question is, like, how important is nutrition in dealing with trying to burn off that excess fat? Because, I mean, I assume that's what it is. It's just that last remaining fat that's kind of like laying over our abdomen, the whole thing. Because, I mean, I heard a weight lifter or someone that was like that. They say, you know, we all have that potential of a six-pack ab underneath there.
Yeah.
And, you know, just working those muscles, you can strengthen. I know mine has strengthened a lot in the last year and a half. By doing some of the stuff that I've done. But I still have that remaining stuff on top. But how important is that nutrition, especially for us that are so close to our target weight loss goals? Are there certain foods that could actually help us burn that fat away and help us build the muscle up that we need so we can get that flat stomach that we all covet?
It is. It's that coveted six-pack. It's like that unicorn that you always see but you can never catch. And you're right. A lot of bodybuilders, they are correct in saying a lot. You do have a six-pack. And you'll see those pictures of these women and these men, and they have these beautiful six-packs. They work very hard for that, and it's mostly nutrition. It, like you said, it's that layer of fat that's laying over them so you cannot see all the hard work you did. So you're exercising your abs, you're building the muscle up, but if there's a layer of fat over it, you cannot see it. A lot of times those people that are in those pictures, they do very special things with their diet so you can see those abs, and it doesn't last. They'll go out and drink water and have a regular meal. Those abs are gone because your stomach, which is where your abs are, gets bloated. So foods, there actually are some really good foods that can help you. Foods that are high in fiber,
mm-hmm.
high in antioxidants, and rich in protein. Those are really great foods that will help you whittle away at that fat.
That sounds great. So, like, obviously, when you say, like, antioxidants, berries and stuff like that would be awesome, right?
Berries, nuts are absolutely amazing. Nuts are high in protein. High in fiber will get, because if you're bloated, fiber, when you eat enough fiber, people think you're going to get bloated and you're going to get gassy. It does the opposite, just like water. If you drink enough water, you're going to get de-bloated and you're going to start seeing the definition. So any nuts are really good for that. Things rich in protein, antioxidants. They just kind of get rid of all of those toxins and everything that's kind of in between you and your muscles. You want to get rid of all that. So there are a lot of good foods that will help you get rid of those last few pounds and just help make your body work more efficiently when you're working out and while you're dieting.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said toxins, because that's a discussion that Dr. Amen and I have had. And in fact, it's even in my interview with him that we have on our webpage at realbigdreams.com. Because he says, you know, fat holds our body's toxins. So any layer of fat that we have in our body is really detrimental to us, because it's holding on to whatever kind of toxins our body releases, and that's the layer that it kind of resides in. So,
right.
You know, that when we were talking about, you know, me taking it up a notch and, you know, like burning off that residual excess fat that I still have, and he said it's so important to do that, because at the same time, because you're purging your body of the toxins, And lots of the times, it's those toxins that build up in our system that kind of promote disease and illness. And it's amazing. I mean, in my journey, that you can find out how nutrition is so important in actually helping the body to rid stuff like that. I mean, not only fat, but actually you're getting away and losing and purging yourself of basic poisons. Poisons that
right.
not only compete our brain, but our body and our muscles and stuff, because our brain operates our bodies and our muscles. So, you know, if we're, our brain's toxified, whether it's from the residual stuff that we do in our life or say, like, extra heavy metals in water, I mean, there's all kinds of different things that can happen and build up in our system. Our environment is probably one of the most important toxin things that we go through, especially depending on where we live in our country, you know. I've been in L.A. a couple of times, although the couple of times we were there, it was pretty decent for the most part. But, yeah, if depending on where you're living, if you're living in Miami or some of those big cities, yeah, you're getting enough toxins. So.
Anything you breathe, even our skin, if the atmosphere and the air isn't right, like you said, you're pulling that all into your body. And there's these things called superfoods, berries, strawberries, blueberries, nuts are really great. Those superfoods actually get rid of, like you said, all of those toxins. It gives you all of those nutrients that you need that helps make your body work so much better. And like you said, Steve, it really is a mind connection too, because if you eat these foods, you'll be more energized, you're more alert. You think more clearly. It's just so amazing when you put the right nutrition into your body, how much more efficiently not only your body works, but your mind works, and it puts you in a better mood. And when you're in a better mood, you're going to treat yourself so much better by eating the right foods.
That's true. Absolutely. You know, and there's so many different, not only mantras, but also like little niches out there. So everybody's got their own thing. And, you know, I know a lot of people that are vegans and it works for them. And there's some people that are kind of like dabbled in everything. I've kind of like did the same thing, kind of like borrowed a little from here, borrowed from there. But there's so many circles and things like eggs and meat really get a bad rap. You know, I hear all these times, you know, you can't eat eggs or you can only eat egg whites. You know, you can't eat the yolks and all that stuff. And when I really started delving into the nutrition stuff, I kept running across most people saying that, you know, one of the greatest protein sources are eggs and good, safe meat. Plus, I mean, the majority of us like to eat meat. And I don't think we need to eat it as pervasively as we do in this country, because it seems like in America you got to have meat with everything and all these meals. I tend to only try to eat it, you know, like chicken or salmon. Like I had, I made some salmon the other day. Very little. I mean, if I do eat meat, like beef, it's grass fed, but it's so expensive that lately I just don't even buy that either. But how much of this is just hype where they say you can't eat eggs or meat, or can they actually be used effectively to get that protein intake level? I know in my journey, I couldn't have done it without eggs, because, I mean, I just love eggs. Now, I got friends that eat raw eggs. I don't take it to that level, but I don't see anything wrong with, like, a boiled egg, or I love omelets, or one of my favorite things, and my buddy Josh, the trainer that we're talking with in Big Dreams and stuff, we love those, like, the vegetable scrambled eggs, you know, where you just kind of saute or even some raw. I love to do, like, a raw vegetable omelet and stuff, too. But eggs are such a great protein source. I mean, my Cairo, he's, like, rock-hard football player. The guy eats 21 eggs a week. I mean, this guy is, like, 8% body fat, you know. So when
right.
he tells people that, you know, they're like, what? You do what? He's like, I eat 21
well,
eggs. A week. And they're like, whoa, dude, that's like three a day. And he's like, well, yeah, of course. Yeah.
We used to believe that eggs and meat would actually raise cholesterol levels because they have cholesterol in them and that they were too fatty, which are both factors in heart disease and weight gain. So everybody all around the board said eggs are bad for you, it has cholesterol. If your cholesterol levels are high, you're at risk for heart disease. We now have a better understanding of how cholesterol works in our bodies, and there's two different types of cholesterols. And actually, eating eggs and lean red meats don't necessarily increase our bad cholesterol levels. That those can clog arteries, but so they don't raise those up. So that's why we have now switched and realized that eggs, as you said, are one of the purest forms of protein and has a lot of good nutrients, as well as meat, a pure form of protein that you actually need and are good for you. So the key here is really moderation. If you're going to sit there and go eat a prime rib every night, it doesn't matter whether it's going to raise your cholesterol levels or not. That's bad for you. If you have moderation and realize that you're not really at risk for heart disease, and the very few people that would be at risk, they already have higher cholesterol levels, and that's a specialized population that is not applicable to the rest of us. So eggs, lean red meat can actually be very good for you, especially when you're working out and you're trying to build muscle and increase strength.
Yeah, sounds awesome. And it's really true. I mean, you know, and the other thing is that when I went into it, when they were talking about some of the couple of things that the weightlifters and the people that are really building muscle and like wanting to burn the fat are eggs and lean meat. You know, it's like eat your chicken, eat your fish, eat the lean red meat, eat the eggs because they actually are, they got good fat in them that will actually help to burn away the bad fat. So I think that it's a great point to make. So I want to switch and talk a little more about your own personal journey again, if we could, just a little bit. And
sure.
So what I wanted to know, what was your realization moment, or as Oprah likes to call it, that aha moment that made you know that it was time to change your lifestyle towards health and wellness? And now for me, I know mine came when I was in the hospital that first night, because I just totally had to become just like totally honest with myself, kind of address everything I was doing, and I took full credit for getting to where I was. It was my doing. And then I had to just kind of like sit myself down mentally and give myself a stern talking to and say, you know, what are you doing? I keep saying it was like almost like this crystal realization moment that I had, that everything just came crystal clear. And it was like, I knew what I had to do. I didn't know exactly how to do it yet, but I knew what I had to do to, you know, I was ready. You know, people keep saying you were there, you received the message. So what was your realization? What was your aha moment that time you knew it was time to change?
Well, you know, so many people ask me that, and I told them I was never one of those people that thought I was healthy. When I was younger, I was really skinny. I was really healthy. As a young adult, I was very big into fitness. I was in the gym working out all the time, and I started to gain weight. And I knew I was getting bigger, and I knew I wasn't healthy. And I got to a point where I just said I didn't care because I wanted to give myself an excuse not to work out anymore and not to try. And I'm almost at the 250 mark a few years later, and I'm at the doctor's and just having a regular routine visit. And not only does he sit there and tell me I'm overweight, and I'm looking at him like, yes, I realize I'm fat. I'm 5 foot and I'm 250 pounds. I'm not an idiot. I know I'm a whale at this point. But then he sits there and says, I have sleep apnea. And I knew I had sleep apnea. I had got a test, and I had to wear a machine. Didn't bother me. I have polycystic ovary syndrome, a disease that could be very debilitating for women. Since that didn't bother me. Just for some reason, I didn't care. Then he sits there and tells me, I knew I had diabetes. I'm taking oral medication. He says, if you don't get your weight under control, we're going to have to start switching you to a needle, and you're going to have to start taking insulin within the month. I don't know what it was, but at that moment, I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I have all these things, and now you're telling me I have to stick a needle into my body. That's it. I'm not doing that. I'm not sticking myself with a needle. I'm not going to become diabetic and die, and I'm just thinking of all these horrible things that happen to people that have full-blown diabetes. And that woke me up, and from that moment onward, I said, this is absolutely crazy. I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, I have to make a change, because do I really want to live the rest of my life sleeping with this machine on my head, having this disease, PCOS, having diabetes, goodness knows what else, and I just had hit my 30s. So it was crazy that I was doing this. So I had to make a change, and I did.
I mean, I hear that story. It's not always the same, but it's always that realization that, my gosh, if I stay this course right now, how much worse can it get? And it can get worse. I mean, it's like, for me, I knew the only step worse for me was probably going to be in a grave. And, yeah, when you get to that point, and you know, diabetes scared me too as well, Mercedes, it really did. And then when I started to get the neuropathy, and then I kind of almost assumed that the neuropathy was from the diabetes, and then I, you know, my leg's starting to go numb, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, well, if it becomes completely numb, and then I cut it and I don't feel it, or, you know, and then I can get gangrene and then they're going to cut it off. And then, I mean, it's that whole progression. I was like building it up in my mind and I was like, wow.
Yeah. And it's scary.
It's scary. Yeah. Very, very scary. And then when I got to the rehab, there were like three guys on my hall that all had just one leg, and they were all young guys, younger than I was. I was the oldest guy there. These guys were like 30, 32, and they all, from diabetes, had their legs cut off.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
scary. And just you, for me, and I'm sure it was the same for you, you just have to wake up and say, is it worth to continue doing what I'm doing, killing myself slowly, or am I going to love myself enough to make a change? And I had to tell myself, I love myself enough to make a change. At the time, I really didn't believe it, but you fake it till you make it. And sooner or later, every time I kept telling myself that self-talk you do, like, I love myself, it's worth it. I'm going to make a change. I deserve to feel better. Wake up and feel healthy on a day-to-day basis. I didn't feel that in years. I wanted to wake up one day and not have an ache and pain, and I'm barely 30 years old. It was crazy.
So you, along with many people I know, and I call my friends, have had weight loss surgery. And they're all different kinds, and I just wanted to talk about that. I just wanted to know, what procedure did you have, and how long has it been?
I had a gastric bypass surgery on December 15th of 2005. So it's been a few years now.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. So are you still afraid that you might fall back into those old habits that kind of got you ill? And if not, then what is it that keeps you motivated to keep pushing and also to reach out and help others like you do with your business Rogue Motivation to become healthier too?
You know, I'm not afraid that I'm going to necessarily fall back into old habits, because I'm at that point where I love myself too much to let my mental and physical health go to the wayside again. But I realize that those old habits are a part of me. I embrace that. I kind of tell people, I embrace that old fat me, because she's still inside there, and she taught me a lot. And I embrace the current fit me, and I keep both of those at the forefront, although never going back and saying, oh, my goodness, I used to be fat, woe is me. But I just keep her in mind when I'm going on my fitness journey now to remember I don't want to go back to that. And I learned what I needed to learn at that moment in my life. I don't need to regress back. I need to move forward. And, you know, being a personal trainer, helping others, knowing that I could be that motivating force for someone to become healthy, that's really what keeps me going. It's going along that journey of life. It's always easier when you have somebody there beside you that understands and can relate and provide support. And I know I can do that for so many people. Just like when I was going on my journey, I had support of others, and I want to be able to give back and show people that they can love themselves and look at themselves the way I see them, that they deserve a better life for them, not just because of how you look, but how you feel and being healthy.
Yeah, that's true. So let's talk a little bit about your business, Rogue Motivation, and what does it actually entail?
Well, when I decided to get in the fitness journey, I did it because I knew there was others out there like me. I didn't like working out. I found myself struggling to stay on track. I always hated going to the gym and using the dreaded treadmill, but I knew how important it was. So I wanted to show people that being healthy, it's not just about running on the treadmill. It's not just about eating salads till you can't stand it anymore. It's so much more than that. So I offer personal training, fitness classes. I offer nutritional advice, educational advice, but really what I try to do is I try to support and motivate people to push themselves to new levels to help them reach their goals and help them see themselves and push themselves in ways they never could before. So I tell people I'm not just a personal trainer, but I'm really a health motivator.
Right. I love that. I love that. Health motivator. That sounds like something that I would definitely gravitate towards. So
yeah.
How does one find out more information? Do you have a website?
I do. It's www.roguemotivationandmovement.com. You can check me out on the website. I have my own Facebook page. You can always call me or email me. All of my information is up there.
All right. Sounds cool. And so we got someone on the line here. It happens to be a friend of ours, Mr. George Chappie Carlin. How you doing there, bro?
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Pretty good.
Hi, George.
Pretty good.
Oh, man, me and Asher wore out today. We've been working really hard and trying to get moving again and get exercising again, and we're aching all over.
Yeah, yeah. Were you working out, or were you walking, or what were you doing today?
Well, we did our walking today, and the walking's come so much easier, but we tried these exercises today, and just getting down on the floor, especially at my weight, just it seemed impossible.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, did you do it?
Oh, I did it, and I was really,
good
really proud of myself at the end. It just, you know, seeing, like, you know, how the exercise is done and thinking in your mind, you know, hey, I can do that. But actually getting down on the floor and, you know, trying to do it, it's a whole different thing. But, yeah, I felt really
it's mental. It's a mental thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, it, most definitely. And it just felt really good to get moving again. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to pick myself up off the floor, but. Yeah, it felt really awesome.
Should we tell Mercedes a little bit about George's journey? He's what'd you start at your top weight?
My first weight was 620 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. And where are you now?
I'm just around 500. We're actually going to be doing our weigh-in tonight. But
I got doing my editing
of my videos, and I seen you guys were on here, and I was like, wow, I got to call and show my support and love.
Awesome. So yeah,
you know.
He started walking, and took a flip cam and started like recording it, and just doing his walks alone. Now he's lost like over 100 pounds, and he's on his way to 500, and then 400 and 300, just like me, man. He's gonna work it down. He's doing a great job, and he's inspiring and motivating so many people. Guy's one of our ambassadors. He's one of our health motivators, as you just described. He's motivating a lot of people out there as well. So, man, big shout out to you. And I'm so glad that you guys are settled again, and your whole little journey is all over. I know you miss your dog and that whole deal. But man, I'm so glad that you're getting back on the right road. You're starting to.
I want to say that I appreciate Big Dream so much because, you know, going through the struggle we had, you know, it really brought to my attention, you know, how easy it is to eat unhealthy because it's so cheap. And it really saddens me that it should be cheap to eat healthy. You know, it really should be, but it's not. And I'm hoping that there's a movement here soon that, you know, everybody can eat healthy and, you know, live a healthy lifestyle.
I don't know where you're at, George, but I know around here a lot of local farmers, if you go to those farm stands and you go to those fruit stands, that they actually really work with the community to help them eat healthy and eat healthy on a budget.
Yeah, and you know what? Go to a farmer's market or look up, write this down, look up your local CSA. In fact, you can go to, I think it's localfarm.org on the internet. You can actually type into your zip code, and they will give you all the local community-supported agriculture movements and stuff. And I'm telling you, Chapter, you go there and you tell them your story, they'll probably work out you a deal where you probably only have to pay like 25 or so bucks a week. You'll get produce, like a big box. Yeah, you'll get like a big box of organic. Organic, it's usually pesticide-free, and you get a nice abundance of stuff. And, man, I mean, that's what you need. You know, the more nutrients you can pump in and you keep going with the exercise and stuff, you're on your way, man, and you inspire a lot of people. And he's one of his big dreams is to become a rapper. He's there. He just needs a chance.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right.
You need a chance.
So.
Yeah, you need to come up with a rap. You should come up with a rap for the Big Dream Show.
Oh, he has?
Oh, you have?
I was just checking, you know, my YouTube stats, and I got this, you know, I do this character on YouTube, and one of the videos just hit over 100,000 views. And there's so much hatred, and I thought to myself tonight, you know, it would be so awesome, you know, once I lose the weight, to come back out and inspire those kids that seen that video, you know, however long ago, and say, wow, he went from that to that, you know, and hopefully inspire the youth, you know, to start eating healthy and, you know, being active. So it's all part of the master plan.
You know, that's absolutely, and that's maybe another one that you should work on, just like start working on that tune, on that song that would be actually talking to them about how they need to get healthy, you know?
Because
you know, that's a big target, and we got a big problem with childhood obesity. And, you know, these kids right now, you know, they think it's all fun and games, but, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, they're going to be in the place that we were. And, you know,
exactly.
I see young kids at 300 plus pounds, and man, these kids, if I think about, I wasn't even there until 20, so, I mean, man, I got to have a problem. Sure.
I definitely want to bring that to their attention in my music, especially, you know, these kids that are making fun of my video and saying, wow, look, you know, 500 plus pounds, he's sitting there in a chair and this and that. But truth of the matter is, I probably was their weight or maybe even smaller when they were in school. You know, this obesity don't happen just one night you wake up. You know, it slowly progresses over time of lifestyles and, you know, certain eating and stuff. You know, so it's a factor in anybody's life. You know, anybody can walk in the same shoes as I do if they make the same mistakes. And it's learning from those mistakes is a great thing.
Right.
You know?
And I got to tell you, George, I wouldn't sit there and listen to a lot of times people just go on the websites and want to make rude remarks. But there's so many others out there, and young people. I work with young people during the day, and it's amazing how many of those young people realize that there's an obesity problem and want to be healthy and want to go back home and talk to their parents about being healthy.
Absolutely.
And it's somebody like you that they would actually listen to and hear out and say he has a message, and you would be that tool to help them get to that place and not only help them, to help their families. So don't let those kind of people, those naysayers that want to just have something funny to say so people can make other comments, tear you down, because you know the things you're doing are so amazing, and there's so many others out there that are supporting you and looking up to you as a role model.
Most definitely. And I took that step a long time ago, and that's let all the haters out there get to me, you know, because I knew if somebody wouldn't take a stand and, you know, bring the obesity to, like, the front of the media and everything, nobody was going to stand up and say we had an issue, you know? And I've done that, and, you know, I've been on the news, and I've showed, hey, you know, I've lost weight, and I'm still overweight. You know, if you're almost to my weight or more than my weight, it can be done. You don't gotta lay down and die. You know, you can do something as simple as walk and drink water to lose weight. Just get out there and do it.
Right.
You know? But
exactly.
Thanks for calling, buddy. Thanks. Colin, God bless you, man. I'm glad you're back in a good place.
Yeah, me too.
I know. It's nice to hear from you, George.
Well, it's good to hear from you guys, too.
So let's wrap up a little bit, Mercedes, and just tell us about you were telling us about the things you could expect when you attended your boot camp, but I know you were also telling me that you have some kind of deal with Groupon or something, right?
Well, with
I
who?
Do, and actually, I had a Live In Social deal. It went out a couple weeks ago for unlimited boot camp for 1 month. We have morning sessions. We're going to be adding evening sessions soon. If you missed out on the Live In Social deal, all you have to do is email me, and we'll still give you the same deal. It's $39 for 1 month unlimited. Normally, it's $199 for 1 month unlimited. So it's a really great deal, and it's a great way to start out your workout routine.
Awesome. Now, the last question I just wanted to talk to you about, because I know you love to participate in these road races, these extreme challenges, and I know you and your daughter just did the Metro Dash, right?
We did. It was the first race that she's ever done with me. It was a great experience. We absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So what do you get out of them? What is it that makes you keep challenging yourself and trying them year after year?
Well, one of the things I love about these obstacle course races, and I know Mary and George did the Warrior Dash, and I did that as well, it's the camaraderie and that team spirit that you get. Whenever you go to one of these, you will see people from all walks of life, all fitness levels, coming together. They might never know you, and you're having trouble going over a wall because there's a 12-foot wall that you have to jump over. They don't know you from a hole in the wall. They're helping you and encouraging you. And that team spirit, it's so amazing and so encouraging. And it's just fun. I mean, how many times as an adult do you get to jump over fire, run through mud, crawl around, have fun with your friends? For me, it's an adult playground, and it always gives me something to work towards.
Yeah, and it really, really does challenge you physically. I mean,
yes.
You know, I looked at that when I was there, and it hasn't been that many months ago, and I thought, well, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do about it. But now, I mean, I can't wait till next year. I really can't.
If you can do the workout you did today, you could do one of these challenges. Quite a few of the people that did the Metro Dash with us, my daughter has never done a race before in her life. A couple of my other clients had done it. They had never done anything like that in their life, and they all completed it. And when you do it with a group, a big group of us, we're always there to encourage you and motivate you. We're never going to leave you behind. So it's a really great challenge. It's a great workout. And where are you going to get a workout like that? You get to jump over fire, jump over logs,
right?
Have a great time in the outdoors.
Yeah, and you, like you said, do it with friends, you know, and make it a whole adventure. And it was. It was that whole camaraderie spirit that happens at the end when everyone gets together and then they're having their waters and their muscle milk and they're sitting around and everyone's muddy and, you know, it's just one of those experiences. And you physically challenge yourself in ways just like Mary and George said, you know, that, I mean, if they think about it, just a year and a half ago, and that between them they were like almost 300 pounds overweight, and now it's just like, wow, they're sitting there doing the Warrior Dash. It's almost mind-boggling. But it proves not only the determination, the persistence of the human spirit, but how our bodies are adaptable and how they can reverse themselves from being in such poor shape to being back into way better and optimum health is obviously my ultimate goal. But I can see where I've just come in just 2 years. And when I think about it, sometimes it blows me away that I can like do 30 miles on a bike and then turn around and do the stuff that I did today. It shows me that, you know, the mind is an incredible thing and the body listens to the mind. And if we can get the mind and the body and the spirit all aligned, we're there. So, I want to thank you for being on again with us, Mercedes. It's just so great to have you as a guest again. And,
it's always my pleasure.
Thank you. And I want to just sign out like I always do with my saying that says peace plus love and health equal harmony. And I want you guys to join us next week. And also, I want you to go to Big Dreams Indiegogo page. We've started a fundraiser campaign. And if you go to Indiegogo.com/, it's all capital letters, BIG-DREAMS-2. Or you can check our Facebook pages, and you can find the links to there. But we got perks. We got some swag that we're giving away. So, you can start. There's different levels. There's a Dream Team Cheerleader level at $20. You'll get a couple of the Big Dream silicone bracelets featured on our Facebook page. And also we'll give you a big old thank you on our Dreams website and Facebook page as well. $50, you'll get these T-shirts that we're getting, and we got all sizes available, so you just need to tell us what you need. With $125, we've got these limited edition hooded sweatshirts. I've got one. We got several, I think, pictures up on the web of them. They're embroidered with the Big Dreams logo. Plus, you get everything above. So the further levels you go up, you get everything else is included. And then our top inspirational, the real Big Dreamer level at $250, you'll also get a copy of Change Your Brain, Change Your Body. And we're going to get that personally autographed by Dr. Amen and myself as well. And then you get the whole nine yards of everything else there too. So a hooded sweatshirt and T-shirt and a couple bracelets. We're also working on some other stuff that will be coming out soon. And we're hopefully going to have some really big news here in the next couple of weeks. We're really hoping and praying. We want you out there. Keep on praying. And maybe we'll hear some good news, and maybe we're getting ready to make these big dreams a complete reality. So thank you for joining me again tonight. I had a really great show again. We knocked them out of the park back-to-back. And so next week, check out for the zip line. I think we're going to do one on the zip line episode that we took place, the first actual little trip that we took and had the group with Mary and Kristen up there and Z and everyone. We had a good time. So check that out, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.